be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're glad that you're here. I pray that the Lord will bless you as we worship Him together. Pray for those that are on vacation, but know that you are blessed. Those that are visiting, want you to feel a special welcome in the presence of the Lord. I told Leonard, asked Leonard if he knew what was happening 10 years ago today. Anybody else know? I preached here for the first time. So technically, it took you another week or two to hear somebody else and then vote. And so technically, today I start my 10th year here. That's not necessary. I was a young man back then. But it's been a blessing and a joy, and I love you folks so very, very much. May we pray. Father, it's good to be in your house, good to be worshiping you. Father, we thank you for the fact that we have brothers and sisters in the Lord here and around the world. People that love Jesus, and because they love Jesus, they're part of the family of God. And we're going to spend an eternity with them. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the salvation and the promises of a home in heaven. Lord, we're going to enjoy our friends, our family. But most of all, we're going to enjoy worshiping at the feet of Jesus, our Savior, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Lord of glory. We worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So again, welcome. Everyone, a beautiful weekend that we've had celebrating our 250 years and the freedom that we all get to enjoy each and every day. How blessed we are. We should not ever forget those blessings. We want to start our service today with the Pledge of Allegiance, and Christopher is going to come up and hold our flag for us. And let's all stand, and then right after our pledge, remain standing as we sing America the Beautiful, of course, all four verses. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
In the bulletin, I do see no evening services tonight. Wednesday, we're doing 6:30 study and 7:30 deacons meeting. So be in your places.
Can you speak up a little bit,
Tom? I will. Yes, ma'am. Am I turned up here? Okay. Yes. So Wednesday night is our regular service at 6:30 and then 7:30 deacons meeting. Next Sunday will be services as usual. Again, no evening service. There is an update for Betty Davis. She is at her home in Oakboro and would love visits and calls. So please keep that in the back of your minds as well. We have a little list here for information, for bulletin, prayer list, website, or one call, exactly who you notify. And I'm sure all these numbers are in your deacon's list. So if you have a category or a message for these issues, these different people, please call for your bulletin announcements, of course, meetings and prayer lists is Kathy. Website would be Mr. Wes upstairs. One call would be Mr. Jeff upstairs. Music request can be Leonard. Church flowers and decor for Angela. And then any church finances and inquiries to Brenda. So keep that little list if you have any questions. And please always reach out to deacons and Pastor Louder if there is anything that you can't reach anyone else. And they will certainly help you. Do we have other announcements that we need to cover? Yes. No, you go ahead and then we'll get Kenny. Okay, so Baptist men up here before you go that way, come this way, up front with Jeff and Kenny. Okay, so following the service today will be church council at the same location in the back below the office. So to that classroom, please. Any other announcements? Anything we're missing? Janice, can y'all hear us okay? Can you hear me okay? Okay, good. Yeah, always speak up if there's anything that's not clear. Okay, any other announcements? We're all good with that? Okay, we're going to move to our prayer request. Do we have additions that we need to add this morning? Yes. I remember Patrick Fuller.
His daughter Anna Brooke, 21 years old, had surgery for some kind of rare cancer on Monday. It's Reverend Patrick Fuller's daughter.
Anna Brooke. And she's 21. Okay, let's be in prayer for her and this family. I do remember Patrick Fuller, the name, but I can't put
revival here, and he also
okay, okay. So, yes, Pastor John.
Harry Stogner.
Yes, yes. That's Eva Ann's brother-in-law. Yes, I just recently spoke with Gina, his daughter, and I knew there were going to be some upcoming, new testing for him. So, yes, Harry Stogner and Betty. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Okay.
Good. And that's this week. Okay. Okay. Any others?
I think we need to pray for our nation. Even though I watched last night, I was encouraged by some of the things I saw that what the nation
Yes. Yes. We do. We do. But I'm as you. I was pleased with what I saw. We tried to tune in and see that as well. Yeah. We can't be in prayer enough for our nation. And what's going on? Yes.
I have a transthorax exercise plan coming up Thursday.
Yes.
Let's just hope everything turns out okay.
Yes. And so Robert will be doing some testing Thursday. So let's be in prayer for him as well. Oh, okay. And then Miss Lori. Absolutely. Okay. So, B, we have a lot of our family, our church family, going through various testing and such next week. So, we have a lot of prayer concerns with that. Yes. So thankful that you brought that to us today, Gail, because Gary and I were just discussing him yesterday afternoon that we had not heard from him. Okay, so if you couldn't hear Gail, Kevin Honeycutt, they did attempt surgery, but the tumor was so large it could not be removed. So there'll have to be other measures of treatment to help the shrinking before they can move forward. So I'm sure he's devastated for him and Donna. Let's be in prayer for them as well. Yes. Any others? No? All hearts clear? Okay. Kenny, would you lead us in our opening prayer, please? Thank you, Kenny. So continuing in our service today, you see the praise as God Bless the USA. There are no words when you see this video. And Jeff, I'm not sure which one did we decide on? Okay. This video is so touching. You may stand with me. If you forget the words, don't panic to the song. Just spend your moments reflecting on this video and what our freedom really does mean to us each and every day.
Start again with just my children and my wife. thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Celebrating 250 years of religious liberty. If you were at the parade yesterday, you might have got this little leaflet. But it's going to be a service at the Stanley County Farm Bureau Arena Wednesday night. Main speaker is Congressman Mark Harris. So if you want to take your lawn chairs, it sounds like, and I know the heat is a factor, but this could be a great service as well, and I meant to mention it, and I'm sorry I forgot earlier. So if you have any questions, I can leave the little leaflet down here, and you can check it after service. And so children are dismissed.
Would you turn with me to Psalm 33? Psalm 33. I think there's some very instructive words from the Lord for us as we celebrate our nation's 250th birthday. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. The psalmist says we need, if we're upright, if we're righteous, if we're godly people, we need to be praising the Lord. We need to be worshiping the Lord with instruments and with our voices. We need to be letting the Lord know that he is number one in our lives. But now why? Why is God worthy of our worship? Why is he worthy of our praise? He goes on in the next seven or eight verses and gives us reasons to worship him. For the word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth. What God says is true. If God speaks, if God, what we read in God's word is true. His word is truth. His word is truth. His word is right. I know it's popular to throw off on the word of God, call it old-fashioned fables, myths. But over and over and over again, it's proven to be true. And I think it's very instructive that when you go back and read all the laws in the book of Leviticus, and God says you do this if you got a infection, and you do, took modern medicine till about 300 or 400 years ago to realize, you know, God was right about 3,000 years ago. All of the things God told about isolating infections and diseases and things, doctors didn't do for many, many years. And suddenly they found out, you know, God was right. God was right all along. We need to worship the Lord because his word can be trusted. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You think about, God loves it when people do right. And there's so many good things in this world. Each one of us, if we start naming our favorite foods, we'd probably end up with dozens. You know, God could have just created one type of fruit, and you'd have to eat the apples every day, but you never got anything else. Or he could have created one vegetable. And if that's one you didn't like, you're just tough. But think, I remember when my youngest granddaughter, Maggie Sue, was staying with us during when she was just a little toddler. I fed her 20-some different kinds of fruit, and she liked every one of them. And there's some kinds I'd never heard of till recent years. God gives us a lot of good stuff in this world. And then in verse 8, 9, and following, but the word, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth of the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe in him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. God created all that there is. How many times have you stood at the beach, watch the sunrise or the sunset, and said, man, this is a beautiful sight. I've never seen anything prettier than this. And then you went to the mountains and you saw the sunrise and the sunset over the mountains. You said, I've never seen anything prettier than this. Well, now, which was it, the mountains or the beach? God created so many beautiful things for us to enjoy. Just such little things as the combination of how close the earth is to the sun. It's close enough to keep us warm, but not so close as to burn us up. Now, then, you know, the last few days you think, have we moved? But you know, the amount of oxygen in the air, just the amount we need to breathe. God created a wonderful, wonderful world. He's an awesome creator of all that exists. He said we should be in awe and reverence him. I look around me and I think so many, many wonderful, wonderful things. And I just bow my head and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your marvelous creation. Verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Over and over and over again, the Bible tells us those who oppose God will not win. They never will. It may look that way at times, but you remember the Bible says that God, 1,000 years with God is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Just because evil seems to triumph at a certain time, a certain period, doesn't mean it's going to forever win. You think about it in the realm of payday. There's some day laborers. You may hire them to dig a ditch. You may hire them to haul hay or something, and at the end of the day, they get their pay. Others get paid at the end of the week. Sometimes 2 weeks. Sometimes it's the end of the month. But payday comes. But then when you think about farmers, they plant in the spring usually, harvest in the fall. They have to wait for months till they get paid. And then even then, some farmers, depending on the prices at a particular time when they harvest, they'll put it in those big grain storage bins and wait till the price goes up, and then they will sell. So a farmer may wait for months and months to get payday. You can be sure sooner or later, the godly are going to be blessed. The ungodly are going to come to naught. They're going to reap what they've sown. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God said 2,000 years ago is true now, and it'll be true 2,000 years from now, will be true forever. Then the next verse, verse 12, is the one that is especially appropriate today. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of man. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You read through your Bible, over and over and over again, Israel had periods of time when they wholly served the Lord, and they were blessed. When they departed from the Lord, troubles came. Nations down through history, when they were blessed of the Lord, was when they were trying to serve the Lord. That doesn't mean everybody in the nation was a believer or everybody in the nation was a follower of God, but there was a strong group that worshiped the Lord. Let's go on and read the next verses, and then we'll go back and make some more application. Verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his integrity, to deliver them their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. There's a truth here that we need to remember. It's not how big your army is and your Navy and your Marines and your Air Force. It's not the weapons you have. It's whether God is for you or not. It's whether God is for you or not. A nation is not, you know, we need a strong army. We need a strong military. But the key to victory is whether or not we serve the Lord. If you read the appropriate materials, you'll find that throughout history, there have been some special things that have happened that can only be explained by the hand of God. I think it was the 73 war between Egypt and Israel. And there was one guy with a tank. And he was facing a whole bunch of a big Egyptian force. And he said, well, I'm going to die, but I'm going to go down shooting. And so after a little while, he sees the white flag. So he gets out of his tank and he walks down and the guy says, we want to surrender. And I forgot how many thousand troops that wanted to surrender. He says, take us your commander. He says, it's just me. He said, what do you mean just you? All those tanks up there have been shooting at us all night. Those Egyptians saw something that this one guy didn't see. There was a similar situation that happened on the Golan Heights in one of those wars with the Arabs and Israel. In the battle for Britain in World War II, I've read of planes that seem to be flying and fighting in those battles from the Allied forces that seem to have no pilots. I didn't make it up, I just read it. And the people that explained these things verified it. Our power, our victory is in God and only in God. And folks, in a little bit we're going to pray. But I want us to think about something. It's us. Oh, we're in big trouble. You remember Reader's Digest? And usually if they had an article that had about so much space at the bottom of the page, they'd put a little joke or they'd put a saying or something. I remember one that's very appropriate right now. It says this big manufacturing plant had a major machine that worked and ran most of the production. And every so often it'd break. And whoever was operating said, go get one of the old timers to come fix it. And so they'd go get one of the old timers and he'd come in and he'd do whatever tinkering or repair and machine to go back to working. Well, years pass and one day it breaks once again. Guy says to his buddy, go get one of the old timers. The guy comes back alone. He said, well, where? He said, well, I've just discovered we are the old timers. Folks, our generation are the old timers. And if we don't have revival, it's going to be tough. Yesterday in my phone, I was reading a list of things that they're predicting will not exist 20, 25 years from now. One of them was nursing homes. We're deporting so many people that want to work there or are willing to work there. Another is they get so expensive, people can't afford them. I don't know. I didn't make the prediction. They had a list of about 20 things they were predicting. The other thing they were predicting is organized religion would be gone in America in 20 years. That's us. Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians. Organized religion, they said, would be gone. And they said, look at all the empty churches. Look at all the churches that are closing. You say, oh, it won't happen. Let me just pose a thought to you. If today the Charlotte Hornets were playing a basketball game, there'd be more people in that Coliseum than all the churches in Stanley County. If the Panthers were playing, there'd be more people in the football stadium than probably in three or four counties. If there was a race at the Motor Speedway, there'd be more thousands of people than in our churches. Now that's sad. That's sad. And a lot of them would be church members that made a choice to choose something else over the Lord's house. We are the generation. And if we do not see revival, there may be no churches left for these little ones. Now, the thing I cling to is the promise of Jesus. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I'm believing for a revival. I'm believing that God is going to do a work in our heart. But how many of us are serious? My grandmother saved the newsletter from West Alamo Baptist Church the week that I accepted Jesus, because there's a little note in it about me accepting Jesus and walking the aisle and saying I wanted to publicly proclaim my profession of faith. Back in those days, for Wednesday night prayer meeting, there was a contest every Wednesday night. All of you folks 25 and younger, stand up. All right, all of you folks over 25, stand up. Said that week, 41 young people stood up. Wednesday night prayer meeting. Then he says, we're not going to tell you how many adults showed up. It'd be embarrassing. We are the old timers. We are the generation that must see revival now. Sad thing is, most churches you call a prayer meeting and you can have it in somebody's car. 4, 5, 6 show up. And I realize people have work schedules and people with the little kids have other things they need to do at times. But where is our heart for revival? As he says here, the victory is of God, not of man and not of the army. Yes, the Midianite general. How many soldiers did you have? 110,000. How many did Gideon have? 300. Who won? Who won? Gideon's 300, powered by God, won the battle. Now you see, the end of that chapter, behold the eye of the Lord, verse 18, behold the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord for his help and our shield. He is our help and our shield. For hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hope in thee. Each of us face a choice. How sold out to Jesus will I be? We as a church have a choice. How sold out to Jesus will we be? Now you can't do it for me and I can't do it for you. We have to make our own choices. Every individual, every citizen. It was sad that 10 righteous people could have saved Sodom and Gomorrah, but there weren't 10 righteous people that would make a difference. Sometimes I feel like Elijah. You know, Elijah prayed, Lord, I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. And God said, wait a minute, Elijah. I've got thousands that have not bowed their knee to Baal. You're not alone. I know that across this nation, there are godly people that are praying, that are seeking the Lord. I pray that you and I will be one of them. I want us to spend a few minutes praying right now. And I'm going to tell you, mention things for you to pray, reasons. And you can spend this time in prayer, daydreaming about lunch, or hoping we're done soon, or whatever. Or you can really pray. Only you and the Lord will know. But it will be known in eternity. As we pray, remember, Jesus is in this room. In the book of Revelation, you see him walking around the churches, Ephesus and Laodicea and Smyrna and Thyatira, Philadelphia and the others. Jesus is just as much here this morning as he was in those churches. Just worship Jesus for a moment. Tell him you love him. Thank Jesus for his personal blessings. And thank Jesus for the blessings that you have because you live in the United States of America. Thank him for the men and women who serve to give us the freedoms that we have. Thank him that this has been a prosperous nation and there's been food and everything else that we've needed. Be honest. Repent of everything in your personal life that's out of the will of God. Repent of anything that's in our church life at Barber's Grove that's out of the will of God. Repent of things in our nation that are not in God's will. in accordance with the instructions in Timothy. Pray for our government, our governmental leaders, from Oakboro to Albemarle to Stanley County to Raleigh to Washington. Pray that they will hear from God and obey God. Ask God to bring a genuine revival to our nation. And as the old saying goes, be personal about it. Draw a circle around yourself and pray, Lord, send a revival and let it begin in this circle with me. We are the old timers. We are the generation that's going to see revival, or else this nation is not going to stand. Now, there are great moves of God around other parts of the world, and they may replace us as the blessed nation if we don't see revival. Pray for revival in our nation. Ask God to give you a compassionate heart for the hurting, the unsaved, the hungry, the elderly. Ask God how you can minister to some of these. We need physical rain. Ask God to send us some physical rain across this area, across our state. Would you make a commitment this morning, Lord? I want the United States to be blessed. Because you are our God. And would you vow to be so surrendered to Him that you seek to know and to do His will? Thousands of years ago, a great leader named Joshua said, you folks are going to have to do what you want. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's my commitment. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Is that your commitment? Father God, I thank you for the past multitude of blessings you've poured out upon this nation. We have been so blessed, Lord, and I thank you. But Lord, we've put so many things, sports and activities and other things above you. Father, we lament the fact that there are probably more people at casinos this morning than there are in churches. Father, forgive us. Oh, God, forgive us. Father, we humble ourselves and seek your face. We ask for a move of God. We know you want to do it. We ask for a move of God that would revive this nation. Not in the image of a Democratic Party or the Republican Party or some other party, but revive this nation to look like Jesus. Lord, we're desperate. We're the generation of old timers that are desperate. Lord, we appeal to you as our God. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May its soul be rekindled with fire from above. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a verse or two of an invitation hymn. If you need to come to the altar to pray or to speak to me, would you come? You and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, give you peace, and may the Lord bless our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.